You need to have a why. And the person who wants to have fun, they're not going to focus on their listener numbers, or they're just going to like want to dump in as much golden content as possible, which is a good strategy for everyone. And then the person who's trying to raise awareness, they're going to focus on reach and how to hit as many ears as possible, which is also a good thing for everyone to learn. But the financial people, the people who want to turn their podcasts into money, these are the people I love the most, because they are those people who now they want to get into the psychology of their listener. They don't care if they've got 60,000 people listening in or five. What they care about is who those five are, and what they do, and when do they drive to work, and where do they work, and how much do they make, and who are they married to, and when did they go to school. And those people are the people who typically get in and make a killing at this, because they understand the psychology of who's tuning in, and they're not just chasing numbers or refining their content to perfection. And so, like, everybody can learn from everybody, but the only people who are going to make money at this are the people who set out with that in mind.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 80, with the co-founder of the Podcast Discovery Center and host of Podcast Bay, Scott Doucette.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for joining me today. My name is JC Preston, your host and founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from a successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is powered once again by our friends over at Fizzle.co. You know, it's amazing when you live your life on your own terms, and having your own business, I believe, is the way to do that. It's really the only thing that will give you your own freedom. But the path to that freedom is extremely challenging, and it's amazing and possible to do it. I mean, there's all these examples all over the web, right? But just like one of those folks would say, Gary Vee, he says, it's challenging, and it's very challenging. And that's why I do this show, you know, to give you guys encouragement, tips, and tactics to build your own indie business. However, if you want to go deeper and be part of a membership community that won't let you quit, you should definitely look at Fizzle. I mean, it comes with both training courses on just about everything, and they're adding more to it all the time. And in the meantime, as you're progressing through those courses, they have a forum in there that is simply amazing. I mean, you can ask any question on branding, they'll help you with that. You have a technology question, they're going to help you with there too. And anyhow, you can try this all for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. So in today's session, I'm joined by my guest, Scott Doucette. Scott is the founder of a group I recently stumbled upon not too long ago called the Podcast Discovery Center on Facebook. And you know me, when I find a good group, I have to share it with you guys. In this interview with Scott, we chat about why you should take note of this group. And in particular, he wants you to know that it's all about helping you become a better podcaster if that's something you're wanting to do. We also talk about how Scott got into podcasting himself, how he met the co-founder of the group, Anthony, and how someone who is doing a podcast for the fun of it can take it to the next level and make it part of their living. You know, if that's something you're wanting to do, then this chat's definitely for you. And as you'll find out, Scott is all about monetizing the efforts of the PDC's members. As usual, you can follow along at newinceptions.com/80. and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, what's up? I am so happy to welcome a new friend of mine here to the show, Scott Doucette. And Scott is the founder of the Podcast Bay podcast, which is it talks about the trash treasure and tricks of podcasting, and it's essentially from podcasters to podcasters. And on top of that, he's also the co-founder of a pretty active group on Facebook called the Podcast Discovery Center, which as of this recording has just over 1,300 members and definitely growing, because I'm seeing new faces in there all the time. So hey, Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
Yeah, totally a pleasure. And you know, I got to go back to the PDC there. I mean, I got to say that you and Anthony have done so much. I mean, that thing is definitely growing. Let's kind of just, before we get into it, let's kind of go back a little bit though, and kind of talk about how you got into podcasting in the first place.
Yeah, sure. how far back do you want to go? My first introduction to podcasts was probably about 5 years ago.
No kidding. So, okay.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, to go back as far as like what's relevant, I guess, my first job was on radio. Mm-hmm. I was 15 years old or 16 years old at the time, and I got a job at a radio station doing weekend, like hosting weekend shows and stuff like that. And so I got used to structuring shows and doing the radio programming and getting the shows on air and just getting used to the controls and what's behind the scenes. And after that, I left radio because I moved away, and I ended up joining a band, and we recorded all of our own EPs, our demos, our stuff like that, and we recorded our live gigs as well. And so I got a little more hands-on experience with things like merchandising, recording, performing, audio, all that stuff. And that whole time that I was doing that, I was also working in retail and sales and doing like management and stuff like that for like shoe stores and pet stores and all kinds of things like that. And so I couldn't keep a job in one place, but I was always in the, well, I could keep the jobs. I just ended up hating them after a while.
Right.
But the recording situation was always very much
a total
in my
constant.
Life.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so finally I got to probably my 18th job that I couldn't stand. And I decided, screw this. I want to make a business for myself. And I decided to do public speaking because in my time in the band, I loved the stage, but I didn't like having to rely on four other people who didn't really have the same vision and momentum and drive that I did. So it was like being married to three other lazy people. And I didn't like that. So I decided, like, my drummer was a beast, but the other two just didn't have that same drive.
Right.
And so rather than be held back, I jumped on stages and started going to talk to like Canadian, you know, in Canadian schools with youth and trying to talk to them about, you know, work ethic and attitude and just showing up, and that's half the battle, is just showing up and getting it done and doing a good job and all that stuff.
Right.
And at the time I wasn't struggling to get gigs, but I was having a hard time getting my message out there. And my mentor at the time, my business coach, his name is Mark, he said, have you ever thought of podcasting? And at the time I thought podcasting was just a bunch of overweight guys reviewing movies in their basement. You know, I had heard a few comedy shows that were just like hashing back and forth, just a bunch of friends, but I didn't know there was this whole other leg of like podcasting with purpose.
Oh yeah.
And people like steering podcasts in a specific direction and just going for broke. Right. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that existed. So when he pointed me in the direction of, oh, man, I think he gave me five off the top of his head, and I went and looked at probably 20 or 30 more and started finding my own favorites. I came back to him a couple days later and I was like, no, I need to do this. Found a co-host, hit record. We launched the education podcast back in 2015 and it took off.
Mm.
Took off. And we started like two small town boys from Bathurst, New Brunswick, Canada, with no voice in a small town, started meeting people all over the world and figuring things out about podcasting and all of that. And the PDC was started around that time because I wanted to learn more about podcasting. But everywhere I went in these groups, there was someone ramming products down my throat, like buy my 3 steps to a successful podcast and take my 7-step course on how to, you know, and I was like, this is BS. Right. You know, this is a low BS. Like, I want to learn this craft from the people who did it. And at the time, like, it's not that I was turned off by business. I was turned off by their approach. Mm-hmm. It always felt like this sleazy car salesman, but wait, there's more type stuff.
Yeah.
So Anthony and I started the PDC, Podcast Discovery Center, and we wanted to make it a safe space for people to explore and share and learn and, you know, not necessarily promote their shows, but just hone their craft.
Right.
And during that time, I was doing my own research and figuring things out. My co-host he had three jobs, three kids, like he was a busy man. And we started to realize that podcasting together and the niche that I had chosen were probably not going to happen forever. So I decided to cut everything loose, start serving podcasters, because what I thought was common knowledge and common sense turned out to be, there was a lot of people who didn't know the things that I knew and didn't look at this world the way that I look at it. And they're all struggling and they all had questions. And so I started consulting. It just went onward and upward, man. And now I'm where I am with wow. Podcast Bay and all of the service-based stuff that I do.
So, I mean, you started back when you were 15. Let's just kind of go back a second. You started, yeah. So you were, was that for like your school radio then? Or?
That was for Max 104.9. It was a radio station in my town, like a legitimate.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They, a school teacher heard one of my presentations, just a class presentation, and thought that I belonged on the radio. So she approached the radio station and got me a job.
No kidding. Wow.
No kidding.
And that's how it started. Well, good deal.
Yeah.
So did you have any creative experiences growing up?
Music and skateboarding. Like, I always had a guitar in my hand, and I was always, like, inventing tricks and skateboarding at the skate parks, things like that. And when the weather was garbage and I couldn't go out and skateboard, I was writing songs and, you know, recording. And I was always building websites. I started my first business, I think, when I was, well, my first quote-unquote business when I was 13. I started a skateboard company, you know? So, yeah. Like, I always...
No wonder... Yeah, no wonder you couldn't fit into a job. You already had the taste of it.
Oh yeah, like it's really hard to work for pennies when you know you can make more money doing things you enjoy more. And it always came back down to that. Like, I'm using all of my talent to make someone else a bunch of money, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. Right. So yeah.
So where did you meet Anthony when you guys started the PDC?
We met in another group. In fact, one of those groups, like I described, where the founder of the group was just using it as his vehicle to pound his products down people's throats.
Okay.
That is where we met. And I dare not call out any names or groups, just the behaviors. But we decided, we had met, we had started talking, and we had both decided that we just didn't like the agenda that was in most of these groups. And so we started the PDC, and we figured, like, if you want to get to know people behind the scenes on your own and push your products, go ahead. You just can't do it here, you know?
Right.
So this is a quote-unquote safe space. I hate to use that, but it's a sales-free zone. So it's a networking, promotion, and craft honing only. Anything you do outside of this group, that's you.
Gotcha. So yeah, it's just, okay, gotcha. Well, and it's just kind of, I mean, me being a third party kind of coming into it, I think I got started maybe a few months ago, and I was just like, this is interesting, because it does, you're right, I mean, you can tell as you're coming in that it does have a different vibe, and a lot of those groups, I know which ones you're probably referring to, and many of the groups on Facebook, unfortunately, are like that. You know, it seems that the founders have an agenda as much as, you know, they want to say that, oh, you can share anything you want to, and oh, you can, you know, talk this, that, and the other thing. But when it comes, you know, push comes to shove, it's like, this is my group and this is the rules. And if they, you know, suddenly change, it's because we thought, you know, there was a change of the vision or whatever. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get where you're coming from for sure.
Well, yeah. And the thing that frustrates me is when people try to sell in the PDC, like I am a salesman. I've got services up the wazoo at this point, and I don't sell. And if anyone has a bunch of money to be made off that group, it's me, and I don't do it.
Right.
And so that's one of the things, like, I try my hardest to lead by example. And sometimes I'm looking at that group and I'm salivating like a wolf looking at a steak, man. But I just, I can't. I respect those people too much to do that, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. Are there any things that you feel that weren't specifically being done in you know, those other groups that you feel you guys are definitely taking head on with the PDC?
I don't necessarily feel, well, theme days were something I feel like we did, not necessarily first, but we've done it and other groups have caught on and started doing it after. Mm-hmm. I was actually inspired by other successful business groups that I'd seen. And so I started that. And I feel like it's not necessarily what we do, but what we don't do that makes the group really good.
Okay.
Like
okay.
we don't encourage self-promotion and people who get in and plug their shows. Like, I have to tell them podcasters are not your target audience. Find out who your target audience is and plug to them. We are other podcasters. We want to help you grow, but we don't actually care about your show.
Right.
You know,
right,
things like that. And like, I'm not popping affiliate links every second comment, and I'm not, like, we try very much to encourage growth, encourage questions, encourage comments, encourage opinions. And even if it's not the norm or not status quo type stuff, we entertain the possibility that you might be right. So it's just I'm trying to make it, and Anthony, I think, would agree that we're trying to make it as close-knit and family feeling as possible, and just encouraging people to make mistakes and have fun and learn.
Right. So do you believe that the themed days have brought engagement to you? Because one of the things is that it seems to me that they change kind of almost regularly.
We stuck to the same format, you know, Social Media Mondays, Tech Talk Tuesdays, et cetera, Promotion Wednesdays, Growth Thursday for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started noticing that some threads were just pumped full of engagement and some threads were going by the wayside.
Mm.
So Tuesdays at first were just goal talk Tuesdays. I'm a really goal-oriented person, so I wanted people to talk their goals.
Right.
That wasn't a very popular thing. So Anthony and I got to talking, and I said, let's address it to the group. So we asked the group what they'd rather see, and they said they wanted Tech Talk to come up more often. So we changed Tuesdays around. Recently, Growth Thursdays started trailing behind. So rather than talk to people about growth strategies, we changed it to resources, where people can kind of share their favorite resources.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, we keep the themes the same, but we change the caption every time we post the photo to kind of focus a different direction, you know?
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
On Social Media Mondays this week, it might be Facebook, but next week we might want your Twitter. The week after that, we might want to find out how you grew your social media.
Okay.
We just try to keep it fresh.
So in other words, you take it down another level. I mean, it's still basically the same thing, but you take it down another level, and then you're like, you know, we're going to specifically talk about this segment of whatever that theme is. Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know, it might not work for everybody, but it seems to be working for our little group, so I'm happy with it.
Well, it's little's all relative, I suppose, because yeah, there's groups that can barely go over 500, but yet, you know, sitting at 1300 now, and then you look at the millions, or that's a page. But you know, I've seen the largest group I think I've seen is maybe about 20,000 in a group thus far.
I cannot imagine how hard it is to manage a group that large.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it. I know that I'm not sure where Pat Flynn is right now. He might be in the teens somewhere, but yeah, it's insane how people have, you know, started using groups as much as they have ever since Facebook was like, oh, we're only going to let you know, organically, people are going to only see 5%, if that much. Per post.
The algorithms changed, and then groups became more relevant. And right. I cannot complain, because it's given me a place to just grow a community that I feel really good about. So I can't complain. Thank you, Facebook, but you can really stop changing things now.
So what do you feel is? I mean, has it been the themes that have led to the actual growth that you've seen? I mean, when did you start the group?
Oh, a little over a year ago. I don't have an exact date. Anthony does, because that guy is just meticulous. But mm-hmm. I'm a little more of a free spirit in the fact that, like, I don't necessarily remember times and dates exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably be able to tell you the exact time of day we started it. But and that's why I'm so glad to have him. He's a little more organized than I am. But I feel that just the general character of the group is what makes it so successful. I really don't think it's the theme days. I really feel like it's the spirit we started the group in. No agenda, no itinerary, just get good at what you do and ask questions.
Mm. For anybody that wants to start a group doing their own thing and having no agenda, how many do you think it takes to get that group started? Well, I mean, how did you and Anthony start bringing people in?
I was fussy as heck at first. I would only let in the people I knew would provide amazing content. Mm-hmm. And then those people told some people, and those people told those people. And Anthony invited about 70 people. I think I invited about 30, but we were very particular about who we let in because we just wanted these people to learn from these other people. Mm-hmm. And then we started just getting people asking, can I invite a friend to the group? Absolutely. What are they about? Are they good? Can they offer value? And we were just very particular about who we let in at first. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that built the foundation of where it eventually went. And we drove the rules. Like, we have a pinned post with a video. The video is charming and it's funny. And then the rules are there, but they're strict and they're outlined. Like, you can't sell here. You can't plug your show here. Like, no spam is allowed. This is what, and we're just very, we have about six rules. It's a little more than Fight Club, or maybe a little less, I don't know, but I wanted to be very friendly, jovial, fun, sarcastic, witty, but at the same time just say, but these are the crimes that you can commit in this group and I'd prefer you didn't. So I feel like having that outline of the rules, infusing our personalities into it straight out the gate, and just being selective over who we let in and not being afraid to use that block and delete button when people start causing trouble. That's been the main thing, I think.
Gotcha. So it was a lot of banter between the foundational folks at the beginning, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it really was. Okay. It really was.
Gotcha. You know, one of the things that you actually do on your own time is that you are a podcast consultant. I mean, you're more than a producer, you're actually a consultant. And you recently had some really great news that you shared with the group the other day. I think it was, what was that, Saturday? Or maybe Friday?
Yeah, I think it might have been Friday.
And, you know, you'd actually said that since November, which wasn't that long ago, you said that you've gotten to a point now where you actually have a waiting list and being able to help people.
Yes.
Now, I'm really interested in how this came to be. Tell me a little bit more about what you do for your fellow podcasters and how maybe how you find clients. How do you approach them? Do they approach you? Let's talk about a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Well, I want to start off first and foremost by saying that, like, I had a mentor teach me a lot of different things about sales, about marketing, about all that stuff. And that has been very pivotal. A lot of the ideas have been my own, but I've gotten a lot of help along the way from people who are much better than me at this stuff, or an asterisk around better, or have been doing this longer. So they have established systems, they have established clientele, they have established referrals and, you know, all of that stuff. So I could not have done this on my own is the one thing I just want to disclaim right away. Without help, I'd still be wondering, you know, what's the mic and what's the laptop? But what ended up happening was that I was doing, like I mentioned, we launched a podcast, we ran it for a year, and then I pulled the plug on it and said, okay, I'm going to start Podcast Bay. But what happened behind the scenes was I was having conversations with people and offering what I knew from my radio experience and from my recording experience. And I was getting on a lot of calls for free and helping people and building this community, because the PDC was just, it was my project at the time, and it kept me, you know, during breakups and during moving around. And the PDC is where I decided to pour all my energy.
Right.
Because it kept me focused and it kept me grounded, right? Mm-hmm. So in doing that, I was helping a ton of people. And what I didn't realize is I was doing it as a distraction, but it was building rapport with people. And I started making notes of questions that people asked most often, the things they were struggling with, the things they wanted to know. And I realized, like, I have answers for all of these. And when a new question would pop up, I'd write it down. When a new question would pop up, I'd write it down. And I realized that, like, I'd go research it and I'd go help people. And just through that continuous basis, like, I've always had a thing for instruction and teaching people and helping people do what I can do, no matter what it is. because I like finding shortcuts to get there. And right. the biggest shortcut for me has always been learn from someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So I figured, okay, well, if I'm helping people this regularly for free, I'm sure I could help people for money. And I know there's purists out there right now going, what? But, you know, like, and I did get a lot of flack at first for starting to charge. That is absolutely true. I'm not even going to lie. People hated the fact that I started charging. But I found a system that worked for me. If I can answer your question without opening my laptop, it's a free call or a quick, you know, Facebook message or whatever. But if it was going to take me a long period of time or extensive work, that's where the dollars come in. And so that system worked for me. It felt good. It felt like I wasn't ripping other people off or myself off. And I did that for a while. And then I realized, you know, my mentor told me, look, entrepreneurs want to launch shows. They don't want to go through the process of research. So I started coaching people from start to finish. Here's what you do to start a show. And that got me bigger paychecks. And it wasn't until November that I was like, okay, I've got time on my hands. I'm my own boss. How can I turn this into more regular income? Because the coaching was coming every now and again, and the consulting was just, you know, smaller denominations. And I decided, okay, I'm going to produce. So I said so, I think November 27th, I decided to produce. By the 29th, I had my first client. By the 2nd of December, I had my next. And it just, they piled in. And I really believe that it was because I had built a rapport to begin with, and they were just waiting for me to turn on that light bulb and say, I'm a produce now. I think if I didn't do that, I'd still be starving. But because I had a group of people who knew me for what I knew, they were like, no, that guy knows a lot about podcasting. I want him to work on my show. And it was just really easy. And then from there, those people started referring their friends to me, and referrals are, I can't praise referrals enough. If you've got people referring you to other people, they're doing the work for you. They're doing the, like I think I heard a statistic somewhere. I think it might've been the Career Metis podcast, that if you apply for a job, you have a one in 118 chance of getting it. But if you're referred in, it drops to 1 in 7. It's the same thing in business. If you approach someone and say, hi, I'd like to produce your show, or hey, this is what I do as a service, and they don't know you, good luck. Mm-hmm. But if someone refers you and says, I know this guy, he's amazing at producing, he works on my show, he's always on time, he puts out a good product, yada, 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 and they rave about you. Like the client I'm onboarding tonight heard a rave review about me and got in touch with me. And then phone. All the magic happens on the phone. I know online people, they think they're going to send off a few emails and they're going to get clients. You still have to get on the phone.
Yeah.
Because this is where people establish and create and cultivate a relationship with you. They hear your voice. They hear you laugh. You tell jokes together. You tell them what you do. They ask you how much it costs. You slam out some goals and you just drop bombs on their head, like value bombs, saying like, this is what I think. This is how, you know, what I've heard in your case before. I've seen shows like that work or not, but we could, you know, and you just, you sit down and you really make it all about that person during a call. And then they know that you care. They know that you're interested in what they do. And it just builds this level of rapport with the person where they're like, oh my God, I now have the clearest idea of what I want to do with my show. What do you do price-wise, or what are your packages like, or whatever? And once you get to that point, you're good. You can tell them, and they either say yes or no. And it's just that easy. But for me, a lot of my clients have come from either knowing what I do or from a referral standpoint of someone saying, my friend does this, or, you know, my producer is great, or whatever. Like, that's been my luck, is with just rapport and reviews and referrals.
So you went from consulting to coaching to producing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I would have thought that it would have been the other way around, honestly. I mean, I would think that some people would be like, oh yeah, let me be the freelancer and be the person on Fiverr and, you know, like hopping out there and trying to do it for cheap. And then they eventually go up the, you know, e-desk, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to teach some other people to do this sort of thing. And maybe that's something that you can do in the future, where you actually you know, teach the art of Scott, so to speak.
And I'll be honest, instruction over production in my world. Like, if I can instruct you, I'm much happier than if I have to produce for you, because production for me is, it's a secondhand skill. Like, it doesn't sit as high with me as instruction. Like, I love instructing people and teaching people things. I love it so much. It's my passion. But then production is something I know how to do well, and I could probably do in an hour what it takes someone else four to do.
Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
When you approach an entrepreneur and you're like, hey, I heard you on a podcast, but you don't know what goes into it, how about I take all of the guesswork and legwork off your hands and you just show up and talk? You know how attractive that is for someone with a lot of money and no time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess, dude, you know, me teaching myself logic in this past year has been, oh my God, dude. Not everybody has the time / to go through that learning curve, because I had touched GarageBand a little bit. But now it's like, oh yeah, no, I do everything on Logic. And the thing is that when people find that out, they're like, you really? Yeah. I self-taught. Wish I had a little bit more formal education in it. But I mean, and that's just the thing, is that, you know, when you run into people that are producers of podcasts, you know, get a little bit of a feeling of their shows, because everybody's different too. Yeah. Everybody has their own feel. Like for me, I like more of the deep voice AM sound, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, you have a lot of people that are more into the shock jock FM sort of thing, like this is the show, whatever, you know, and it's just, you know, everybody has their own thing. And I think when people are looking for that producer, you have to, just like if, you know, going into music and feeling out different kinds of music, you need to find out what kind of, you know, what their portfolio is, and, you know, see if you gel with it. So
cool. Yeah, and I'm pretty specific, man. I don't work with hobbycasters. I set my rates in a way that would scare most of them away. Really? I really want to work with people whose podcasts have clear defined goals, because it's so important to me to know who you're speaking to and why you're doing it. And that's why I work with entrepreneurs primarily. Actually, that's the only shows I produce, to be honest with you. Now that I'm thinking about it, all of these people have businesses that their podcasts are either subsidizing monetarily, like, or it's a marketing channel for, or it's an education channel for, but these people are very business minded that I work with.
Right. Well, and I mean, before we get there real quick, let's kind of take a tangent, because I wanted to ask you about that, and I want to kind of go into that. But we, you know, one of the things that I'd actually just seen, and I just want to get your vibe on it, is that podcasting content in general, and this is something we were talking about before the show, was that it seems to be that everybody can get their hands on, you know, even now it seems like everybody can have their own TV show, because Facebook Live is like, everybody can have their show and talk about whatever the heck they want to talk about. And some of the stuff on there, it's like, really, how does this person have 200 some, 400 some people listening to them just go on and on and on about what makeup they're wearing, you know? And it's just like, wow. And you know, the thing is that what we were talking about was the fact that you had said that Facebook is potentially looking to do an audio sort of thing as well as the Facebook Live, correct?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that in itself is going to make, you know, those of us who take this seriously, we're going to sound so much different than what, you know, those people are. Because one of the things, I don't even spend my time watching live anymore. I've already been, I guess you could say, desensitized to it.
Oh, I'm over it.
Because of the simple fact that I really don't care about half of those things that are being shot out. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar, but there, if you go on the desktop version of live, and I'm sure it's on the phone somewhere, but if you go to the desktop version of Facebook, and you will actually see on the left-hand side, there's actual live video tab. and the Explorer. And you can go down there and you can see pretty much everybody. I mean, you focus in and you can see everybody that is streaming on Facebook Live at any given time. And I, you know, you can just click around and see what's there and you know, watch things. But it's just like, people, what? They watch this? And, you know, it just goes to show you that there's an audience for everything, I suppose, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing that worries me about, I shouldn't say worries me, like you mentioned, the Facebook situation, those of us who take it seriously, we're going to sound really good. What worries me is the noise. For those of us who really take this seriously, and we do a good job, we're going to deal with a massive amount of people who want to do what we do. Realizing that they can do what we do for almost nothing and no barrier to entry, no research, no learning, no financial whatever. They're just going to be sitting there on their headphones with a microphone talking into their Facebook app. It's going to make us sound fantastic.
Yes.
But at the same time, we're going to have so much more noise to navigate through that only the people who are really dialed into what they do are going to get heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's that.
Which is great for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what another thing is that I was thinking that it would be, you know, I'm looking at the fact that I think that you're going to have more and more independent networks starting up where, you know, you have the Nerdists and you have the, you know, I'm trying to think of anything else besides Nerdist that, or what's the one? Network One, right?
Yeah.
They have a whole bunch of podcasts and I think you're going to have a lot more. Those are more company based, you know, backed networks, but I think you're going to have a lot more independent networks that are maybe to, like, for example, maybe the PDC actually is like, here are our hosting of shows. And that kind of becomes an aggregation, I suppose, of all the different podcasters.
It's potential. There's potential there. I know some of the PDC have their own networks. Some of the members, you know, guy named Kwame Corbett has the Pyromania Network and it's a bunch of shows. And then Chris Ripka in the group has the SDWV network and that he has a collection of shows. And there's quite a few people who just have a network under them in the PDC. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's a potential, like if Facebook gets on this, it's a smart business move for them because they want to keep everyone's attention on their app and in their, you know, their social media platform. But there's going to be new obstacles and there's going to be new pros and cons for podcasters, definitely.
Right, right. Well, and yeah, I was just kind of, like I said, I was just kind of curious of your take and how everybody was going to be, you know, able to do the art, so to speak. But going back to what we were talking about, you were talking about promotion and engagement. And, you know, we were kind of discussing how to work with podcasters that have certain goals in mind or lack thereof and how to get them, you know, get them to thinking about what they want their podcast to be with the end in mind. And, you know, I would say that a lot of purists do it for the love of it. Right. But as business folks. Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love artists, you know, I love talking to artists on the show, but you know, they can teach us business minded folks quite a bit. But you know, the thing is that I know I had a guy not too long ago that huge, huge community he built, but he never wanted to monetize it because he felt that it would take the fun out of it. Okay. You know, that's your thing. But for those who do want to actually make a living at this thing, how can someone get from doing it for the art to taking it to more of a business? And two, how do you structure a podcast with the end in mind, really?
Okay, so may I rant for a quick moment?
Rant away.
I'm probably going to get shot when I leave my house. Some podcaster's going to be like, no, man, you sold me out. But one of the things that I absolutely hate is the amount of disillusionment in this industry where people are selling products based on if you turn on the mic and speak, you will get sponsored and you will make enough money to pay your rent and send your kids to college. Just buy my course, 3 simple steps, all that marketing stuff. Like, it drives me insane. You will probably notice I don't do any of it.
Right.
Because I hate it. I hate it. Like, yeah. it doesn't work that way. You're not go there. First of all, 7 steps to a successful podcast or 13 steps to a successful podcast. There's something missing there. Success differs from person to person, from podcast to podcast. Like you mentioned, a purist podcaster might be doing it for the fun and the entertainment value. And then someone who has a son with, you know, a disability might start a podcast about said disability to raise awareness. And then a guy like yourself or myself might be business oriented. We might have money on our mind. And then we're going to want to start a show that eventually becomes dollars. Those 3 shows have a different path.
Right.
The fun person is going to focus way more on content and how to fine tune that content and how to make every single show, like every second pass by, like rainbows, butterflies, sunshine, and a great time. That's what the fun podcast is going to focus on. Am I having fun? Mm-hmm. The awareness podcaster, the cause champion, or, you know, the whoever, whatever, the person with the message wants to get ears. They want to cast this out on as many people as possible. Whereas the financial podcast, the person who wants to make money, needs to aim themselves at a very specific group of listeners, and that's usually listeners with money, so that they can pair themselves alongside of companies that they can affiliate with or get sponsored by or even create their own products and services to sell to their listeners. Right. So you can't just do 7 steps and have a successful show if you don't know what success looks like to you. So it goes right back to, like, at the very beginning, what do you want this thing? What is your purpose? What's your goal? Like, when you started your show, what did you want from it?
I originally used it as a networking device.
Smart.
Which it has turned into, and I still use it to that point. Now it's starting to, I would believe, yeah, becoming more of a, you know, marketing device as well, for sure. I mean, it's just, it's done. I can't think of a time where I didn't have a goal.
Yeah.
With doing the show.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, that's so. My point, right? It's like you need to have a why, and the person who wants to have fun, they're not going to focus on their listener numbers, or they're just going to like want to dump in as much golden content as possible, which is a good strategy for everyone. And then the person who's trying to raise awareness, they're going to focus on reach and how to hit as many ears as possible, which is also a good thing for everyone to learn. But the financial people, the people who want to turn their podcasts into money, these are the people I love the most, because they are those people who now they want to get into the psychology of their listener. They don't care if they've got 60,000 people listening in or 5. What they care about is who those 5 are.
Right.
And right. What they do, and when do they drive to work, and where do they work, and how much do they make, and who are they married to, and when did they go to school? And those people are the people who typically get in and make a killing at this, because they understand the psychology of who's tuning in, and they're not just chasing numbers or refining their content to perfection. And so, like, everybody can learn from everybody, but the only people who are going to make money at this are the people who set out with that in mind.
Right. So what's a few ways of, you know, someone, again, you know, someone is moving from the art to business, how do you find who's listening to your show? Because obviously you have downloads. How do you get out there? I mean, is that something you start going into a Ryan Levesque sort of situation where you just start sending out surveys to the emails, the few emails that you have, or how do you go about doing that?
Social media, specifically Facebook, has been my absolute best friend, because not only did it help me cultivate my audience, but it helps me keep in touch with them. Some people really love email lists, and quite frankly, I am one of those people. However, I don't have one. I had one for a while. I disbanded it because I just couldn't keep up with the emails I was writing. I'm starting over with my membership community, and those people I'm going to continue to email. But where I've done my best work is Facebook. I have pages. I have the PDC, and I know a lot of my listeners are in there. But starting a group around your podcast is probably the best place to go. You can do polls in groups. You and those polls can literally give you that it can be market research. What kinds of products do you buy on a regular basis, or what do you want to learn next, or what kind of guests do you want on my show? And the responses could very much gauge who you joint venture with, who you affiliate with, who you look for as sponsors. You can definitely go onto a free survey site, like WooFoo Forms or SurveyMonkey or whatever.
Yeah, SurveyMonkey.
Yeah, and just create a survey and send it out to as many people as possible with very specific questions in mind. How long of a show do you like? Which was your favorite episode so far? And just it's all feedback. All of this data that comes back to a regular person, they don't know what to do with it. But to a marketer or someone with a goal in mind, they take it all and they file it in the appropriate places. And then they sit back and they analyze it and go, I have 130 people who want to learn how to turn podcasting into dollars. Perhaps I should research that and turn it into a product or service or whatever, right? So it is what it is, right? When I told people that I have a audience of 5,000 podcasters, guess who started approaching me? Podcast hosting sites, web developers, et cetera, people who had services specifically for podcasters. So it's really about just if email is your chosen platform, if Twitter is your chosen platform, if Snapchat, doesn't matter, Facebook, your website, whatever it is, forums, wherever it is you engage with people, ask them questions. Share your stuff, get opinions, just constantly be searching for feedback, and that will help you form everything you need to do from there.
Wow, cool. You had mentioned that you're actually starting a membership site.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. It is. I can't wait because production, coaching, and consulting, they're all like time for dollars type things. Right. Whereas the membership community, I get to do everything once, twice, thrice, what have you, but I can help an infinite number of people. And that's the part that my mind is blown by.
Right, right. This is starting before too long in 2017.
Oh, yes.
I would imagine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What else you got going on this year?
That is the main thing, to be honest, is just to put the preliminary trials and tests in motion, get the first few people, the first few members on board, and then serving them to the point where they do what my production clients did and just like shout it from the rooftops. That is what I want. I want something so clear and concise and beautiful and helpful that people just like scream it at other people. You need to join this membership site. So I'm going to be working on that a lot, and then just helping my clients to the best of their abilities or to the best of my abilities and putting myself out and helping as many people as possible. That's just the goal, never really changes for me. My goal is pretty simple. Help as many people as I can, deliver the best show that they can. And right. The way I've been doing that is just helping people get clear on what it is they want from their show and then propelling them in that direction with information. So,
right. Well, and like you said, you always wanted to be, you always had that teacher instinct. And I think so many of us that are really, I come from an education background, and those of us who have that natural feel of wanting to help people, I think actually make more of a killing in this thing than those who are trying to sell snake water.
Oh yeah. Trust me, that is a whole other rant. We could do a whole show on that. We could, because I feel like the purists really enjoy me because we can sit down and just talk art, goals, etc. And they know I'm out there to help because I can't even tell you how many free hours I've given away of my time and will continue to,
Right.
But then the business people really love me because this is my career. I'm making money. I'm doing this, and I can kind of focus in on what it is they're good at. But the biggest thing is I try not to become one or the other, because marketers lose sight on how to talk to regular people, and regular people hate marketers. And so yeah. I feel like as long as I'm flirting with both sides of this fence, I'll always be able to help as many people as possible.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Scott, are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
I hate these. I am never ready for these, but let's do it. I feel so out of control when rapid fire happens.
All right, first one, and this is one of my favorites, is what are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're at today?
One is Mark Black. He's a public speaker. He got me my first few gigs on stage. The other is a gentleman named Mark Mawinney. He's the one who steered me toward podcasting and gave me all the knowledge that I have and I'm able to share and just got me hungry for this industry. And then finally is my mom. She definitely, as much as she doesn't understand what I'm doing now, she instilled in me very early on. Oh yeah, my parents want me to go get a real job, man.
For pretty much any creator, that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah, but she instilled in me that it's important to listen, be empathetic, and educate. Always educate, because if you're teaching people, you're empowering people. Whereas, you know, you give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for his life. And that's why producing is one thing. It helps me get you a product. But teaching you how to do it yourself, that is way more valuable. And so I feel like she has played a very big part in this.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
Everything. Everything. Products, project. I am such an easy person to sell to. In the fact that, like, if it's a good idea, I want to do it. If it's a, like, BSO, bright shiny objects is what they call it in the marketing world, I am chasing them all the time. And I'm always like, no, you got to stay focused. You got to stop what you're doing. Stay focused. So basically any projects that I can put my time into, I have to, like, physically hold myself back and say, like, no, you can't do this right now. You've got too many things on your plate already.
What is something you believed as a 25-year-old but you now tell yourself is completely inaccurate, and why?
That all people are innately good.
Really?
Yeah. I used to believe that all people were good people, and I've learned that some people are really just out to get as much out of you as they can. And when you find good people, it's almost a feeling you get when you're around them. They make you feel better. They make you feel smarter. They value you. They don't ever ask you for anything. But they're always receiving what it is you give. And so I feel like if I would have learned people back, you know, when I was a kid, the way I know now, I would have saved myself years of bad relationships, bad jobs, bad business deals, bad everything, because I would have trusted my gut about people more than my head trying to talk me into stuff.
Yeah, there was a session 73. Go back and listen to that one of the podcast. John Boersma talks about personality types and how knowing personality types has helped him with his fitness coaching career.
Yeah, I mean,
believe it or not,
that would have helped me so much. I've had so many girlfriends, man, who just took me for everything I had. And if I would have listened to my mom, who I thought was crazy at the time, I would have realized, no, they're out for themselves, not a relationship. Or same thing with business deals, right? They're not out for your gain or your mutual gain. They're out for themselves. And I feel like if I would have known, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. What are three truths that you've learned over time but you'd want others to know?
Three truths that I've learned over time. You're not invincible. So take care of yourself when you're young. That is pretty important. Because things that I've done skateboarding in my teens are suddenly coming back to bite me. You need to make people feel loved. You need to create good vibes around people. And you the sooner you start loving people, the better. Don't think everyone's out to get you, because, you know, contrary to what I just said, there are a lot of people who are. But it's up to you to put up a filtration system. And the more people look at you and get warm and fuzzies, the more they're really going to like you. The more they're really going to think of you and choose you over the other person when they're making their decisions or, you know, what have you. So just make people, create a warm environment around yourself and make people feel loved and welcome and want to be around you. And finally, people are not as stupid as you think. Okay, people can see through your crap. Children most of all, but they don't get, like, you know, maybe they get disillusioned as they get older. But for the most part, if you are phony, people can tell, they can smell it. And marketers, this is especially for you. Normals, as I like to call them, you're not as much smarter than them as you think. You might know things they don't about marketing, but they can sniff you out so fast. So if you're phony and you don't believe what you're selling or what you're saying or what you're doing, no one else will. So just be real, be upfront all the time.
Wow. I like that. What does it mean to live a life of abundance?
I feel like we're already abundant, if that's not crazy to say. I feel like if you wake up and you've got your health and you've got ideas and you've got running water and you've got the internet and you, like, we are already crazily abundant to the point where we're spoiled. So I feel like recognizing what you have and loving it will make you abundant, like very much abundant. However, I feel like living a life of abundance is just taking care of things like family, romance, feeding your emotional side, your needs, your physical needs, and all of that. As long as you're being taken care of and you got your health and you've got all that, you're already abundant. But freedom is a different thing, you know? Like, to be free is to just take all attachment away from expectation. Like, I should have this by now, or I should have that by now. If you stop worrying about that, you're already free. And if you're grateful for what you have, you're already abundant. So that to me is what it comes down to, is recognizing what you have and not attaching expectations to what you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people are having issues with feeling that abundance in their life, go get a journal, go get a, you know, just start every morning or every evening, make it an exercise to, you know, write down some of the things that you actually appreciate that are actually in your life for once, and not so much be like, oh, I hate the world because the world tells me it hates me. So
cry.
Right. Exactly. Like,
yeah,
exactly. So as we're closing here today, what are three or four steps that someone can take if they want to build a or remake their podcast into one with purpose?
Beautiful. Okay. So first off, find a niche. What is it you want to talk about? What is it you love? What is it you enjoy? What is it you can shed light on or want to learn a ton about that you can talk about for hours? So what are you passionate about? Like, what is it that you can show to the world? And like I said, it could be people who write. Maybe they want to do a writer's guild, or people who have a cause they're passionate about. Maybe they want to create an awareness podcast, or people who have skills that they want to share and create money. Maybe. So just find that, whatever it is, the one thing that you want to go on air and talk about. And that's step one. Step two is, what are your goals? Why do you want to do this so bad? Because when you're faced with the long hours, the technology not working, the guests not showing up, the immense amount of marketing time that goes into building a successful show, your why becomes very important. So
Simon Sinek, the hell out of yourself.
Yeah. Why? What do you want to talk about, and why is this so important to you? Those are the first two things. Mm-hmm. And then finally, like, I hate to say who, what, when, where, why, but yes, that. Answer those questions for yourself. Who? Who is this podcast for? Who do you want to speak to? Do you want to speak to other people who are going through what you're going through? Or do you want to speak to people that you can inform? Do you want to speak to people who are like-minded? Or, you know, just figure out who. When is pretty simple, I think. It's pretty standard. But pick yourself a launch date that's going to allow yourself enough time to get all these pieces and tie them together. Mm. And that's the biggest thing for me, is just... And then once you have it, invest in some gear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, really invest in some gear, because it doesn't have to be expensive, but I feel like there's two types of listeners out there. There's the audio junkie and there's the content junkie. Content junkies are going to love what you say no matter what it sounds like, and you won't lose them by improving your audio quality. But audiophiles, you won't catch them unless you sound good. So to make the most of your show and to get the widest net of listeners in, is just make sure your audio sounds good, because we are an audio interface. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying you can get started with a headset mic and make tons of money, but it just doesn't work that way. So,
but on defense, but, let me just say that it doesn't have to sound perfect right away. Spend some time, get started. That's what I would say first. Get started, because I honestly... Scott, it took me way into my 50s. And Pat Flynn says, you know, you don't have to have your first 100 are practice.
Yeah. And the first year of mine was practice, yeah. But I really noticed my threshold to listeners open up whenever I had better sounding gear. Yes. More people took me seriously. Yes. And since we are an audio medium, I feel that it's very important to at least address audio quality.
Right.
But then, like, once you have your goal established, you've got your audio set up, you know why you're doing this, you know who you're doing this for, get as much feedback as possible from people, because that's going to shape your content, your ads, your who you chase, when you chase them, why you chase them for sponsorship or affiliates or whatever. Just the more engagement you have with your listeners, the better. Don't get caught up on numbers, because 60,000 downloads is great. But people would rather know who those 60,000 people are, what they like, where they live, etc. So right. The more you know about your listeners, the better.
Right. And again, good way of doing that. Facebook group, get started as soon as you launch your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Facebook group, email list, whatever you're most comfortable doing is the best way to do it. Do whatever you can stick to long term.
All right. Well, man, total pleasure having you on. If someone wants to find out more about you or get in contact with you, how can they go about doing that?
Facebook.com/podcastbay is where I do a lot of stuff. You can just add me as a friend on Facebook too, if you want, or you can go to podcastbay.net. Everything is pretty much there for the new membership site, the free content, the show, like we're setting it up as we talk. So it's podcastbay.net is going to be the one-stop shop for me.
All right, man. Well, again, total pleasure. And, thanks for coming on.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me.
And there you guys have it. Again, if you're serious about making your podcast get traction and make it a great show, you should definitely look for the PDC on Facebook. Personally, I think if Scott's membership site is going to be anything like the PDC, I'm sure that it's going to be a hit as well. And be sure to look for that in the not too distant future. So that all said, show notes can be found at newinceptions.com/80. There, as usual, you'll be able to find the show note extras. And then this week I'm featuring a few videos that are from the PDC community itself. The first video is from someone I highly respect in the community, as he was able to help me finally fix some of my sound issues that you guys know was plaguing the show pretty much through the 30s up through a good part of the 50s. And his name is Cody Boyce. And I have to say that if you need help editing your show, he's definitely the guy to talk to. And I mean, he edits a number of big podcasts, including actually the Foundations podcast, Starting from Nothing. And in this short video, he shows that if all you have is a new iPhone, it will work as a good makeshift mic for you and your on-the-go show. Next up, I have a video from a guy by the name of Kerry Green. And again, the video is pretty short, but he explains some great tips to help people find your show. Then the third video is from a future guest who I just interviewed this past week, Artie Jiske, and it's a promo video for one of his sessions he's had. But what was cool was that he was asking the PDC to review the promo for him. He didn't actually say, hey, you know, just check out my show. I want your, you know, your actual opinion on, is this something that's captivating you to actually pay attention to my podcast? So, and finally, the last video is of Scott doing some admin work. And while it is form of a rant, I really wanted to share with you guys, because you could see how, you know, he keeps things sane over there. And, you know, it's again, I'd rather see something like this than where you just go into a group and then you post something and then all of a sudden you're kicked out the next day. And it's like, what did I do? You know, so really friendly guys. Can't say enough about him. And, you know, he brings up some really great points. And, you know, I think it's easy to understand that how they've been able to do so well with PDC as a community. Anyhow, let us know how you like today's session. We really appreciate the iTunes reviews. And you can find our iTunes page by going over to newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Or you can send us emails via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, if you want to connect with Scott directly or any of our past guests, you can do that by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. And there you can find all of the past guests, listeners, and other members of the New Inceptions team. You know, and you can ask us questions that you have, or if you want, you can just, you know, let us know what you're up to. really like to hear from you guys. And you can find that group by going over to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. Coming up next week, I have another solo interview with another podcast veteran, and his name is Andre Kane. And he's half of the talent in charge of a syndicated show called The Electric Radio Show. And yes, syndicated means that they're all throughout the country on different radio stations. Andre is someone I think that a lot of you guys are going to actually be able to relate to. In fact, when he was telling his story, I realized that it wasn't something super special, but it is full of hard work and determination. And I think that's one of the things that I really got out of his chat, is that you can accomplish pretty much anything that you want to do as long as you keep taking those baby steps. I know we also talk about some of the guests that he and his co-hosts have had on their show over throughout the years, and even how they got some of those folks on. And I don't think the answer is really going to surprise you guys, especially when they were starting out. Anyhow, that's all there is to Session 80. Thank you guys for joining Scott and myself today. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.